You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. This is Tobin Arthur with AngelMD and Innovation for Alpha. And I am joined today by two special guests who are building a very cool company. Erez Lampert, who is the founder of the company and is going to tell us a little bit about Pathkeeper, is the name of the company. And we're super excited about it. And I actually was introduced to this company through a number of people that are involved with AngelMD, and specifically introduced me to Ryan LeBlanc, who is leading up the US team. And Erez is coming to us tonight. I say tonight because it's tonight his time in Israel. He's just returned from the US, and Ryan is based on the East Coast of the US. So welcome to you both to the show.
Thank you so much, Toby. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Toby.
Why don't we, we'll take turns a little bit. Erez, why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about your background and how Pathkeeper came to be, and then Ryan, we'll kind of get to some of the US operational things that the company is working on and focused on.
Sure. Thank you, Toby. So I'm an engineer in my background. I started my career in the Israeli Air Force, in the Israeli missile range. And since then, I've worked in various startups all around the board. About 10 years ago, I joined Invisalign. Invisalign, the dental company, bought an Israeli startup, and they brought me to manage their R&D and develop 3D intraoral cameras. Jumping 3 years forward, we came up with a system called iTero Element, and that became an overnight success. I think in the first conference, we sold more than 1,000 units for about $30 million. And since then, it went crazy. Now, the 3D camera from Invisalign is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, medical device exporter from Israel, with more than $500 million revenue only from the camera. 3 years later, 2018, I met Dr. Josh Schroeder, spine surgeon, HSS fellow that's leading the Hadassah Hospital in Jerusalem. And we've been talking about the robotic surgery in spine and the limitation that it has. And when we discussed the digital dentistry that came about following what we've done in dentistry with Align, he said, well, Erez, if you can bring that type of revolution to spine orthopedics, that would be amazing. And that's basically how Pathkeeper was born. Bringing the same digital dentistry into a much more complex and interesting world of healthcare. Real spine surgeries.
That's incredible. I want to come back to that a little bit in a few minutes because that dental connection is super interesting. We've seen a lot of amazing products come out of the dental world. And actually a lot of times end up in orthopedics. Ryan, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in Pathkeeper, and maybe a little bit of what we'll start with you're focusing on right now on the US side of things.
Sure. Well, I don't know that my background is more impressive than Erez's background. Pretty impressive guy to follow up. So I started my career actually as a physical therapist. So I was a clinician, got a doctor of physical therapy from Mass General Health, Institute for Health Professionals. Treated patients for a while and just decided that medical device was a better calling for me. So had different roles and responsibilities from individual contributor to market development, to sales leadership, different organizations. I sort of gravitated towards smaller innovative type technologies companies. And Erez and I crossed paths at NASS a couple of years ago, and I saw what they were working on and was really eager to become a part of it. So we became fast friends. And right now what we're working on in the United States is we have FDA clearance. We have alpha sites and beta sites that we have that we're spinning up, done cases and getting our users to get some experience. And we're learning along the process and continue to refine our product for our commercial launch in Q4, Q1.
I want to come back a little bit to the experience and the cases that have been done so far and what you've learned and how that's influencing where you're headed. But Erez, why don't you just share a little bit? Pathkeeper has some super unique features. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the different approach that you're taking and how it's changing, how scanning is working. So maybe describe a little bit more specifically what the product's doing.
Right. So I think today, most robotics and navigation system, basically what they're helping surgeons do is put screws accurately. And that was our goal in the beginning. Can we help surgeons put screws more accurately with less radiation and, to be honest, less cost? So part of the vision, at least the initial vision, was why should this robotic system cost $1.5 million and then being used only in, you know, top facilities around the world? Can we make something that every hospital can purchase? Rural United States, rural Israel, third world countries, everybody. And can we make it at least as good and probably better? When we started to develop that, we've taken the concept of digital surgery from the dental. We created a high-resolution, proprietary, bespoke 3D camera to track the patient anatomy and combine it with a lot of back engine that's based on AI and new technologies coming all the time with artificial intelligence. And created a system that really is cost-effective and limits radiation and can track the anatomy. Forget about radiation in the surgery room. Forget about trusting some sort of a reference array. Really track the bones. So that was the key success that we have. We can track each and every bone in the spine, and we can guarantee accuracy without radiation.
Ryan, maybe why don't you just touch on that a little bit more, because we've talked a bit about that. Let's just focus on the radiation for just a second. As Erez points out, there's a number of really unique characteristics here, but radiation is one that stands out pretty significantly to physicians in particular, because they're exposed all the time, let alone the patients. But the physicians are working with these systems all day. What's different? What's going on with the radiation side of this equation?
Well, I think the radiation side of the equation is a really important one for both patient safety as well as the health and safety of the practitioners. So I think I just read an article, came out a month or two ago, was talking about pediatric cases where they had 1, 2, 3, up to 5+ CT scans. And I think it was patients that were less than 23 years old. Basically, they said one CT scan is probably not going to be problematic, increasing your risk for cancer in the child's life. When you get to 2 and 3, it increases it several 100%. When you get to 5+, it increases the risk of cancer. Some cancers, 900%. So I think the risk is there, and it's something that's problematic for those patients. And then I think there's a neurosurgeon who's a female neurosurgeon who just had a cool LinkedIn post last week, a couple weeks ago. She was talking about lead aprons, lead vests for female surgeons specifically. And she said female surgeons have an increased risk of, I think, breast cancer by 400%. So it's not just for the patient, it's for the folks in the room, the anesthesiologists, the physicians, the x-ray techs. If we can deploy technology that's as good or better without radiation, without the risk, why wouldn't we do it? I think what Erez has come up with, what we usually talk about is, you know, there's other navigation robotic platforms on the market, but they all kind of use the same hardware. And what I mean by that is they all use the same camera. And by creating a bespoke camera with a much greater resolution, higher resolution than the other cameras, essentially we can do things and we'll be able to do things that nobody else can do.
Let's touch a little bit on, Erez, you've, you know, FDA approval happened a couple months back in the late spring. You've been in cases. What are the things that you've been learning and focusing on as you iterate on the product?
Right. So I think, yeah, we have a couple of installations in the United States. And we have been running cases and one installation in Israel that has been doing cases. And I think the easy things, the good things are easy. You know, we can do those cases without radiation and we can do them so much faster than anybody else. However, for us to be successful, user workflow should be perfect. And that's our goal. Our goal is not to be just more accurate and less expensive without radiation. We want surgeons to really love our system. So we invested a lot about AI, trying to make the process simpler and easy to do by the surgeon. And I think we're still so much better than anything else in the market, but I think there's way to go. There's more that we can do to half guess what the surgeon need by the system and guide them and support them through the process. And when we work with surgeons, we see what's easy and what's less, not as easy, what takes, you know, what they can do with the first surgery, it's no brainer, and what takes two or three surgeries. So I think that's critical. The second thing we need to work on is the training procedures. And we are now building how to train a surgeon. What does a surgeon need to hear from us? What is the process to bring a surgeon up to speed in the fastest manner? While we train surgeon, we learn what would be a better way to do that.
And Ryan, just kind of continuing on what's different, you've talked about the fact that you are product agnostic. Maybe speak to that a little bit, because that's pretty significant as well.
I think some other companies sort of claim to be product agnostic, but they purposely make it challenging to be product agnostic. They want to be a closed system, but they kind of sort of want to be open. Whereas, and we wanted to make a system, and Rez and I talked about this when they were working on the development, is a system that's truly agnostic, not just to the different brands, but even the different types of tools that you can utilize. And this is a platform that they can do that. I mean, it would be considered off-label now, because we're primarily FDA approved for screw placement. But in cadaver labs, we've navigated Misonix bone scalpels, burrs, even a Woodson, pretty much any tool that's relatively straight that we can navigate through our navigation with a navigation plate, basically figures out where the tip of the instrument is. And if it knows where the tip of the instrument is in reference to our reference array, we can navigate relatively anything. So we think there's a lot more application in the future. And again, regardless of where you are, if you're in Connecticut or Israel or Timbuktu, we should be able to deploy there and give surgeons a tool that's going to improve their safety and efficacy for their patients.
So, Rez, you've mentioned cost, getting costs down so it's more accessible. Give us a little bit of a reference. I mean, I know it's probably a moving process as you guys are refining, but generally speaking, kind of you versus them, what are we talking about in terms of the cost delta?
Right. So if we are comparing ourselves to leading in the market like the Mazor and Globus, I think we are like one third of the cost. As simple as that. There are lower cost devices. There are some good, even lower cost devices. And we wanted to be there. I mean, I think we need to find some sort of like middle ground. We can be very low cost. I don't think that's the right way to go. We are bringing a lot of value. So we want to be financially sensitive to the situation now with the healthcare. We want to be able to support ambulatory surgery center, private hospitals, which might not have the capabilities. So we are open to, you know, leasing models and other methods to help surgeons use the system. So value should be acknowledged, and we don't want somebody that doesn't acknowledge the value. I will not give the system for free, even if they can. So surgeons should acknowledge the clinical value, and for that, the pay, but payment or capital should not be a barrier to use the system. And I'm sure that anybody who wants to use a system, we can find a way to make money together.
I love how you put that. It's not about being the low-cost provider necessarily. It's about value. But dig into that just a little bit. Because when people hear that you're able to deliver something, and let's even just say it was half, let alone a third, they might think that's unbelievable. What are you doing that dropped the cost so significantly compared to most other options on the market?
Yeah, I think it's two things. The first one, we develop everything from scratch. Taking my experience in 3D imaging in healthcare, I brought a partner, which is PhD in physics and expert also in optics and nonlinear optics. And together we developed the system, basically everything from scratch. When you develop everything from scratch, you get two benefits. The first one is that the system design, the hardware, is specifically designed for spine surgery. We have robustness against surgery room illumination. We have exactly the right distance and exactly the right parameters, exactly the right size. So we can optimize. And when you optimize, you get better results, but you can also drive down the cost. You don't need to pay for somebody to make money that already did the development, et cetera, et cetera. The second thing I think that helped us is that we got nice grants and we find from the European Union acknowledged our development and the value of what we are doing. And we got a very nice grant from them. We got some grant from the Israeli Innovation Authority. And that drives down the cost of R&D. So when you have relatively low cost R&D and relatively frugal company, it means that the money that we can, so that when we sell a system, the money can go to revenue and doesn't need just to cover all the cost of all those tech people that are involved in the company.
That makes sense. Let's fast forward a little bit to what you're focused on as you guys are building this out over the next 6-12 months. Timeline's not that important. What are the key milestones that you're looking to accomplish? And I know one of those is raising capital to finance these milestones, and maybe we can talk about those two kind of in combination. Ryan, do you want to take that?
Actually, Rez, we can. Why don't you start with that one, and I can close it out with you.
Right. So we got the FDA, and we got our first installations. I think we have a bit more than, I would say around 10 installations that we are in process to get contracts on. And we have, I think, a couple of the leading hospitals, the leading names in the United States, both as surgeons and hospitals that are interested. And funny enough, the biggest challenge that we have now is how to support those guys. So production cost is not a problem. That's the beauty of the system. We can make more and more system. We are not worried about that. We don't need money to for production. We basically need to hire more people like Ryan that can go and support the surgeons. We want every installation to be successful. We want surgeons that will love the system and will be our ambassadors and advocates with their peers. And to do that, we need to give them, you know, the best support, the best customer service that's possibly can be. And for that, we need a team in the United States. Currently, the team is Ryan. Just another person joined him today. So we doubled our U.S. team today. But we need to double it more and more. So really, every installation of those 10 and more that are interested will be a happy surgeon and will share it with their colleagues.
So the good thing is the demand is there. You guys, you know, have got people lining up, and you just need to meet the ability to execute on that demand. So you're raising some capital. Maybe just refresh my memory, Ryan, how much in total are you taking smaller investors? What's the smallest increment you're looking for? Kind of what are the characteristics that you're looking for?
So we had a safe as a bridge round, and we were raising a couple, $2-3 million for that. And then in A round, we were looking to raise $10 million. I would piggyback some of the things that Arez had just described. Is you know, the process is commercialization process in the United States is, you know, challenging. But we've seen so much excitement from the market. When we go to the pediatric deformity, like POSNA or IPOS, these pediatric deformity meetings, we see the same thing. It's clinical validation. And some of the sites that we have as far as clinical validation that we're speaking with or already engaged with is, you know, three of the top 10 hospitals in the United States ranked by U.S. News. So I think that we're getting all green lights from the market saying what we believe was true, the hypothesis is true, is that surgeons are looking for other solutions. Institutions are looking for other solutions, and the resources that we need to raise are just to be able to help us support those, the deployment of these units and making sure that the surgeons get the training that they need, the support that they need, so we can improve the overall adoption of navigation in the market.
We will put in the show notes some links for those of you who've got interest in learning more about the company, the product, investment opportunity. Will make it easy for you to get a hold of the Pathkeeper team. And for physicians and surgeons in particular that might have an interest in learning more about the product, Ryan, is there something you would suggest? I mean, does the website have most of the information that can answer their questions? What do you suggest there?
Yeah, the website is great. It has a really nice video, small video series on sort of the nuts and bolts of how Pathkeeper works, the optical tracking of the camera. So I think that's a nice way to get a broad stroke, or I would say just please reach out to me on LinkedIn or just send your information on the website and set up a Zoom call. We've done Zoom calls with several dozen, at least probably 50 surgeons that were interested in learning more about the technology and heard about it through a friend or somebody at a meeting. And again, the clinical validation, I hate using those words like holy grail or, you know, game changer technology, but, you know, these are the types of descriptions that we keep hearing over and over again, which is really cool.
Yeah. Again, we'll put the links in the show notes, but it's path-keeper.com is the website for those of you who want to take a peek. There is some great information there. Arez, you just got back from the U.S. and had some meetings up and down the Eastern Seaboard with Ryan. Do you guys have any plans over the balance of the year yet as far as shows that you might be at or meetings that you might be at?
So maybe one step back about the investment. I think maybe important to remind everybody that most of the money that we raised, especially in this round, but also in rounds before, were by spine surgeons and their friends. So we are lucky, I think, to say that we don't have, you know, big VC that demands like ROI. We have people from the industry that care about the industry that are supporting us, wanting us to be successful. So I think that's important. And one of the things we will be able to do for anybody who is interested is to connect them to some of those industry people, surgeons and executives that had invested to talk to. Yep. Regarding our plan for the year, I think we're going to be in SRS, we're going to be in NASS, and we're going to keep doing roadshows to surgeons. So we have surgeons and implant companies, as I said, some big healthcare facilities that we are conversing with and doing demos, and we'll keep doing that process this year.
Perfect. And this is not coming from the company, just from my perspective, you know, as the team continues to iterate, clearly some of the bigger players are going to have their eye on you, are going to need to fill their technology portfolios with a company like Pathkeeper eventually. So from an investor's perspective, there are great pathways, not to play off the word too much, but for very good outcomes from a financial basis, let alone making a great impact in the industry. So for surgeons who might be users of this, there's also a really interesting financial opportunity. which I highly encourage people to look at and listen and lean into. Erez, thanks for spending time late in the evening, your time after a lot of travel last couple of days. Ryan, thanks for coordinating this. And we'd love to keep you up to date. We'll everybody up to date. We're going to have updates from the company. We'll put in vital signs. Keep an eye out there. We will have a full feature of the company and some updates in the next issue of MD Next magazine. So keep an eye on that and keep an eye on this company. It's going to be a terrific company and make an impact in the spine world. Thanks both for the work you're doing and appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Toby.
Thank you, Tobin. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll get this edited up. We'll get this circulating. I'll send you the links. And like I said, we'll try to marshal some interests on each of the different sides, users, investors, and preferably both. Ryan, I'll follow up with some different ideas there too that we can execute on.
Sure. What anything you would change? Did you like it overall?
I like it. I think it's a good quick kind of teaser, which is the goal, right? We want to get people kind of intrigued, but not give them too much. I think we need to drill into the details a little bit more, but that's better served for subsequent follow-up. That's where the magazine can come in. I mean, we just keep drilling down. I always tell people, and it's maybe not the best metaphor, but the goal is to get people to go on a first date and then a second date, not to get married. There's a little bit of a process there. And if we try to rush that process, we miss some steps. So no, I think it was great. Awesome. And Erez, great to have you on and kind of the brains behind it. I'm going to play off a little bit more on the dental side. I want to touch on that. I think, I don't know if I mentioned Ryan, but you know, as an example, Mark Zuckerberg, who founded Facebook, his father's the head of our dental advisory board. And he loves things like this. He loves things that come out of the dental world and make their way into the medical world. So he'll be intrigued, and he's got an investment fund that he runs with some guys. There may be some interest there. So I'm going to ping him with the show once I get it up and running.
That'd be really cool. Wow.
Yeah. There's some funny characters like that behind the scenes are involved with Angel MD. It's just sort of bizarre when just some of the people that have gotten involved, but it's fun.
And Ron can train his son a bit.
Sure. Yeah. Martial arts. Oh. He's a martial arts guy.
I love it. Well, thanks, guys. More to come.
Thank
I'll follow up awesome. As the week gets later on.
Thank you, Tobin.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel MD Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.